Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
All right, Dave Player back with you here on 720 WGN. So Rita Moreno's extensive career in music, film, and dance began to make an impact with her Academy Award-winning performance as Anita in the 1962 motion picture West Side Story. She is the only female performer to win all four of the entertainment industry's most prestigious awards, the Oscar, the Emmy, the Tony, and the Grammy. I, like so many of you, grew up with Rita on The Electric Company, not to mention The Rockford Files and maybe even The Muppet Show. She currently stars in the CBS comedy reboot of One Day at a Time, and next spring will be the focus of a new American Masters documentary hitting the big screen called Just a Girl Who Decided to Go for It. And now Rita joins us.
Isn't that a great title?
It is a great title. I love that title. Rita, how are you?
I'm terrific. Thank you.
What a great pleasure it is to talk to you. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you.
You know, One Day at a Time, which was a classic 70s, early 80s series, was rebooted by Norman Lear some years ago on Netflix and then onto Pop TV. And now it comes full circle back on network television this Monday to kick off its fifth season already. Pretty wild.
But also on CBS, which is Norman's original home. So
yeah.
It's kind of a celebratory occasion.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I love the way they crafted the story because, you know, One Day at a Time was about a single mom who was raising her kids and trying to navigate through life. And this is very similar, but it's a Cuban-American family. The main character is Penelope Alvarez. She was a United States Army.
It's really a reimagining because the lead part, which is Justina Machado, who, by the way, is only brilliant in it. She plays my daughter. Well, I can say I play her mom. She's a war veteran.
Right.
That's a big, big, big difference from it puts a completely different feeling on One Day at a Time.
Yeah, very relevant. I mean, and relatable to obviously a lot of Americans out there who served and have to come back to, you know, life with their families and so forth, and
but
how they
Norman
navigate
Lear's
through it.
Idea always, Norman Lear's idea always is to do something that's universal, and what could be more universal than a family?
Right.
And boy, that's his specialty, and this is such a funny show.
Yes.
But what's wonderful about it is that the gift that this show has is that it's extremely funny, and then you suddenly choke on your laughter, and you find mm-hmm. yourself in tears.
Mm-hmm.
It's an extraordinary kind of experience. The roller coaster ride.
Yeah, and I met Justina before when she's been on the show. She's from here in Chicago, which is wonderful.
I know.
And the other two threads to this One Day at a Time series is the theme was remade by Gloria Estefan, and it's exactly the same song for the most part. But then the actual set is very reminiscent of the apartment that was on the 1970 series.
That's what I hear. I know. Actually, there are little props in the in our set that belong to the original.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, that is right. Yep.
You know, but you know, doing this for so many years that, you know, props get used over a 70, 80-year period. I mean, they mark them and they hold on to them,
yeah,
and they are repurposed constantly.
Well, this was done on purpose. Obviously, they saved some things from the original show, not knowing what would happen. But when it came time to do this One Day at a Time, out came these old props, which is wonderful.
It is. And Norman Lear is 98 years old, and we're going to have him on after our conversation. But he's on the set.
This man is quite remarkable. I call him the old Jew, and I call myself the old. I call myself the fartet, as opposed to the old fart.
That's awesome.
So he and I have a lot in common having to do with his age.
Yeah, right.
But, oh, he's remarkable. He goes to the office every day. I mean, this is the most remarkable, astonishing, impressive, admirable man. I just adore him. I really love that man.
Well, I mean, you really think what he created over those really critical decades in television, the 70s and 80s, with
outrageous.
Some of these. Yeah, yeah. And some of them, it's hard, you know, it's hard to watch. You know, I was watching All in the Family the other day. I just have to tell you. And yeah. I was really shocked at the topics because they're very relevant today, but I'm not quite sure how any audience would accept some of the things that the character of Archie Bunker was saying, but it was so relevant at the time, and a lot of it is still relevant right now.
I remember watching, it was one of my favorite shows, but I was always shocked. I thought, oh, they didn't say that.
You're right, right.
And then I do that with our current One Day at a Time, because it's insane what we have covered. The things, oh my God, the things we've covered, the topics in this show, I would never have believed this could be on television. Not because it's bad, but because it's so bold.
Yeah, yeah. And relevant and very thoughtful. Like, that's what I've seen in the series.
There is one, got to tell you, there is one episode about pleasuring yourself that will make you pee with laughter.
I know your character,
when
Lydia, is very sexualized.
Said,
it is.
No. I remember reading the script and saying, no, we're not going to do this? Really?
There's
an underside to that, something that nobody ever refers to or talks about,
right,
that everybody, almost everybody in the world takes part in, but nobody would ever in a million years admit it. It is hilariously funny, really, really funny. And my part, Lydia, has a delicious, delicious part in it.
Well, you can tell. You can tell you're actually having a good time doing this show.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
I would pay them.
That's great. Well, I also read that you're going to be in this reboot of West Side Story. And that...
I'm already in it.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It's just a question of when we're going to show it. Steven Spielberg decided not to show it this year. It was supposed to come out in December, right near my birthday, which is the 11th. But he said, I couldn't bear the thought of streaming this extraordinary movie, which it is, by the way. It is amazing.
Yeah.
You will be poleaxed. So he's saving it for next December.
Yeah.
And I said to him, Steven, I'm going to be 89. He said, yeah, but you won't be 90.
That's awesome. I'm glad they're saving it, though, because, I mean, that is something that I think audiences would want to see on the big screen, right?
Oh, it's a musical, for Pete's sake.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
You've got to show this on the big screen. You've just got to. So, and I just have a feeling I'm speaking on my own now, that we're probably going to be up for a bunch of nominations.
Oh, I think so.
Just guessing, but he's simply brilliant. Let's not forget that the fellow who wrote the script is the man who wrote Angels in America, Tony Kushner.
Mm. Gotcha.
And it
okay.
was his idea, by the way, to put me in the movie as the widow of Doc, the older man who ran the candy store that the kids used to hang out in, the gangs used to hang out in.
So looking back on your amazing career that has spanned seven decades, you know, your mother brought you to New York City from Puerto Rico, and years later, 1950, when your career began to take off, notable movies like Singing in the Rain, The King and I, and of course, West Side Story, I think it made you realize very quickly, because I read your book too, that even though you weren't born here, you knew the American dream was possible.
Well, I did. I believed. Well, first of all, when I was a little girl in Puerto Rico, and then when we arrived in America, New York City, and I was 5 and 6, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a movie star.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted to do in my life. And nothing has... I haven't changed my mind.
Right. No, not at all. Not at all. We're talking to stage and screen legend Rita Moreno, and there's more after the news next on 720 WGN.
Life can be bright in America.
If you can fight in America.
Life is
State player on 720 WGN. We're talking to movie, stage, and TV legend Rita Moreno, who returns to television this Monday for the fifth season premiere of the rebooted One Day at a Time on CBS. So, West Side Story, of course, your most talked about role. You're going to be in the new one. You did a lot of movies before that one that you didn't really like doing. It was a lot of definitive Hispanic roles that you played.
Well, not definitely. They were Indian, American Indian, yeah. Egyptian, yeah. Anybody with a dark skin,
yeah,
and an accent. That's what I did for years and years and years. So when West Side Story came along, it was just, you know, just so thrilling for me. Even though they got a bunch of things wrong in terms of what Hispanics look like and sound like, never mind. It was a thrill to do that movie then. It's more of a thrill to do it now because Steven Spielberg decided, along with Tony Kushner, that they were going to right some wrongs. They didn't put it that way. Those are my words.
Yeah.
And everybody who's supposed to be Hispanic in this movie is.
Yeah, right.
That's very important.
Right, absolutely. How did it come along? Like, how did this specific role come along, and how quickly did you jump on it?
I did what everybody else did. I screen tested and I auditioned.
Ah, okay.
Just like everybody else, because I had known Jerome Robbins, the choreographer, who was now going to also co-direct with Robert Wise. I had known him from The King and I, the film.
Mm-hmm.
I was in that. And in fact, I believe it was he who mentioned my name to Robert Wise, and he said, we should really audition Rita Moreno. I think she'd be good for the part of Anita in this movie. And that's what I did. I auditioned like everybody else. I screen tested like everybody else.
Wow.
And that's how it happened.
Well, and you won all these awards, and it was big. I mean, you won.
It was not just the Oscar. People forget that I also got the Golden Globe.
Yeah. Yeah, you got the Golden Globe, too. But then you didn't work for, like, on the screen, big screen, for, like, 7 years. Why did that happen?
Oh, it was a heartbreak of my life. I thought when the Oscar happened that I would be, you know, doing all kinds of movies, and nothing but nothing came along. Heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking. And I was just offered more of the same on a lesser scale.
It is heartbreaking.
You know, these girls with accents and all that, and dark makeup and all that. And, you know, it wasn't even acknowledged in the movie, the original movie, that Puerto Ricans were all colors.
Right.
We are brown.
Yep.
We are copper. We are white as milk,
mm-hmm.
because the French came to Puerto Rico. The Spaniards came to Puerto Rico. They are a very, very fair races. And so we are many, many different colors, truly. I have an aunt who's now since passed, who was light brown. And then my grandmother was a Spaniard from Spain. Very, very fair.
Well, and with that said,
that wasn't even acknowledged in the movie.
I was going to say, it's been 60 years since then. Do you feel Hollywood has come far along in representing the Hispanic community in film or on television?
I don't.
I don't either, yeah.
It's shocking. It's really shocking that I think, for instance, that the black community has been brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I'm filled with respect and admiration for what they have done for their community. We haven't gotten anywhere near that. And that is so shocking. It is absolutely shocking. Yeah. Don't understand it. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either. And that's why this One Day at a Time is such
That's why this show is also extremely important.
Yeah.
And I want to remind you that it's the only Hispanic type family show on the air, on network.
Yeah. Yeah. And
crazy.
Now on network. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You never really stopped working. I mean, the 70s, you pivoted to television pretty quickly. And we were talking off air.
I did a lot of crappy shows, but
yeah,
worked.
You did. You worked.
And it helped get me. Well, all of that work helped get me unemployment insurance.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, the moment that's what a lot of actors did. The moment you finish doing a guest part in something, you literally the next day you'd be over the unemployment line to collect your check.
Yeah.
Thank goodness
for
that.
There was a little strategy there, But, I mean, I grew up with you on The Electric Company with Morgan Freeman, and that was, you know, for people that don't know, that was like using sketch comedy, like Second City sketch comedy, to teach kids grammar and reading. And
it had how to read, mostly. How to read.
Yeah.
This was the show that always followed Sesame Street.
Right.
And it was several notches up, and it helped children to learn to read. And boy, did it. This show was absolutely astonishing. I'm very, very proud of my participation in it, although I remember being warned by actor friends, oh, my God, don't do a children's show. You'll never be able to play in regular movies and TV again, never, which happened to a lot of actors. They got stuck in that terrible groove.
But it must have really allowed you to be more creative than you've ever been.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. I had so much fun. I could play. You know, it was really like vaudeville. You know,
yeah,
you say
right.
It was like Saturday Night Live, and I'm saying it's like vaudeville because that's my era.
Yeah.
But it was so much fun playing these wacky characters. And we had such a superb cast.
Yeah, it was.
Absolutely
it
wonderful.
Was.
And I want to add that at that time, Bill Cosby did his part in it, and he was brilliant. He was wonderful.
That's right.
Unfortunately, he, we don't need even to talk about
that. We don't have to talk about that. You did the Rockford Files. I remember seeing you on that with the Emmys, and you did episodes of the Golden Girls, Cosby Show, Nine to Five you did on TV. But the one that really struck me, and I thought, oh, what a great role for you, was in the HBO drama Oz. You played a nun, I mean, a drug counselor, psychologist.
Wasn't that amazing?
It was a great role.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
For the benefit of those who never saw Oz, it was a... it was the first thing that HBO did that was really, really gritty.
Gritty and dark.
Gritty.
Yeah,
with a capital G.
Yeah.
And it was about life in a prison, maximum security prison, which was called Oswald, but it became nicknamed Oz, which was wonderfully ironic because it was anything but Oz.
Yeah. Sounds lovely.
And I played a nun.
That's right.
Sister Pete.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a great role. And now all of this, really, and you think about all these years that you've been on stage and in the movies and on television, you're going to be featured in the big screen New American Masters documentary that's in the works with Lin-Manuel Miranda and Norman Lear as executive producers. That's going to be...
Isn't that something?
Oh, that's phenomenal. And it's called Just a Girl Who Decided to Go For It.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. And we get to,
and it's a documentary about my life, and it's a real no holds barred. There's nothing in there that is a lie or made up. Sometimes I look wonderful, sometimes I don't.
Well, that's everybody's
life. That's what a documentary is supposed to be.
Yeah. Well, you wrote your memoir back in 2013, and obviously it makes you dig deep and think about your life and the journey that you took and the successes. You got to have failures to have those successes. And how was this experience as you're going through and you know, being in this documentary and focused on you? Did you learn something different from when you wrote your memoir?
I think so. I think some things were more clarified because I had the advantage of having written the book. And again, with the book, there were no lies there, nothing made up, nothing exaggerated. I wrote it as I lived it. And when it came time to the documentary, I said it has to be truthful, completely truthful. And I don't want to be photographed as though I'm in a musical.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, I'm not.
Yeah. No, you wanted it to be raw. You wanted it to be...
I wanted it to be who I am, and it's very. And in that sense, it's. I haven't seen it because I'm not supposed to.
Interesting.
You know? And I don't get any feedback from it except to hear people say, "Oh boy, it's wonderful, it's touching, it's this, and it's so truthful," that kind of thing. I haven't seen anything.
Well, I mean, you know, you were discovered by the great Louis B. Mayer of MGM. You had a relationship with Elvis, encounters with Howard Hughes, romance with Marlon Brando. You dealt with so much of Hollywood's racial and sexual barriers along the way. There's a lot of story to tell here.
Yeah. I actually, if I were to do a real documentary, it would be about 4 hours long.
And, you know, I'm really looking forward, of course, to this American Masters documentary, and the new season of the rebooted One Day at a Time starts airing this Monday night at 8 Central on CBS.
And it's going to be also a back-to-back, two episodes back-to-back.
Great. So if you haven't seen it, yeah, it's a great way to start digging in.
It is hilarious.
It's a great show. It's a great show. What a pleasure spending some time with you, Rita. Honestly, I'm so glad you took the time.
Well, you know what? I love the way you interview. Thank you. It was a pleasure for me.
Thank you, Rita. My pleasure. Have a great weekend.
Be safe,
okay, everybody. Okay. Thanks, Rita. My conversation with TV legend Norman Lear coming up next on 720 WGN.